From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Can you believe it's not yet been 1 month since Joe Biden went into a CNN studio in Atlanta and effectively ended his long career in politics? Since that time, there was an assassination attempt against former President Trump. Trump accepted the Republican renomination for the presidency. President Biden heeded calls from fellow Democrats to give up his reelection bid. And Vice President Kamala Harris secured broad support to become the presumptive Democratic nominee. Even after all that, Biden does not seem happy about his decision. That much was clear from his Oval Office address on Wednesday night.
I believe my record as president, my leadership in the world, my vision for America's future, all merited a second term. But nothing, nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy. That includes personal ambition.
All this will be the focus of our politics roundtable, which is where we are beginning this morning. And with me for that, as always, is Linda Kenyon, who covers Washington, D.C. for Illinois Public Media. Linda, welcome back to the show.
Quite a week indeed, as you rightly pointed out.
Yeah. So we last spoke Monday morning. It was the day after Biden announced he was stepping aside on Twitter, not actually personally yet. He endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris. There was some unity at the time, but it's really the dominoes kept falling, and now she has enough delegates behind her to be the presumptive nominee. What do you make of how quickly Democrats fell in line behind Vice President Harris?
You know, I think they were yearning for some kind of hope that they could coalesce around some forward momentum, really, in the race. The race had really been stalling for President Biden. He wasn't gaining traction. His message wasn't being heard. And coupled with the very strong messages from Republican Donald Trump saying that Biden was too old, that he had some mental acuity issues, that he had some health issues, none of which, by the way, have been confirmed. Even Dr. O'Connor, the president's doctor, has said there's nothing going on. But nonetheless, that is the message that was gaining traction. And of course, coming off of the Republican National Convention, normally a nominee will get a bump in the polls after a convention. Not only did Donald Trump get a bump in the polls, but his continued attacks against Biden as the old man, if you will, were really resonating with his supporters. Now that Biden has dropped out of his race for reelection, it seems that Trump is the, if you will, old man, and now they're going to have to redirect the narrative.
One of the things that people have turned their focus toward is who Harris will pick as her running mate, as her potential future vice president, a decision she has said she'll make by August 7th. There have been a lot of names discussed out there. One of them is Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. The Chicago Sun-Times reported this week that Harris talked with Pritzker to gauge his interest. The governor has been reticent about this, but this is what he said on CNN earlier this week.
Well, I think, you know, I love being governor of Illinois. The people of Illinois have graced me with that title for the last two elections. And, you know, I'd be reluctant to make a change, but it'd be hard to resist a call and consideration if the nominee called me to ask to be considered for vice president.
Sidebar, that was Governor Pritzker on CNN. I've invited him on the 21st show four or five times since May. That invitation stands, Governor. Please come talk to your constituents. But Linda, my question to you is, what reason would Harris have for choosing Governor Pritzker over someone like Arizona Senator and astronaut Mark Kelly, or Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, or any of the other names that have been put forward?
Well, on a national scale, Pritzker has a very good reputation, and Harris needs to balance the ticket. So will she go for somebody from a battleground state? Will she go for a white male? Will she go for a female, et cetera, and so forth? Pritzker has, as I say, a very good national reputation. A lot of people say they don't know him, but certainly people in Washington and in surrounding states know him quite well. And he has comported himself quite well when it comes to expressing his views on the political issues. So that might be one of the reasons. And the other is if Harris does try to get someone from a battleground state, for example, that could bring in a lot of votes. So it's important to balance the ticket. Pritzker is not considered as liberal as Harris, at least in the national perspective. And so that could be a very strong running mate. But again, there are several very strong possibilities out there. One who is not on the list, or who was said to be on the list, but doesn't seem to be very interested, is Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. But California is not a battleground state. And because of constitutional limitations, Newsom and Harris are both from the same state. One would have to change residency.
How would that work for the governor of California? You did mention that Harris may be choosing a white man. I heard some WAG this week refer to that as the DEI aspect of this, is that it's actually going to benefit a white man in this case. Do you think, is America ready for a two-women ticket? Or people have talked about Pete Buttigieg, who is openly gay. Is America ready for that? Or what do you get the sense of how she is thinking about this and what considerations they have?
Well, certainly that's going to be part of the thought process here. Is America ready for two women on the ticket? Is America ready for two people of color, or et cetera, et cetera? I will say that the attacks against Kamala Harris, which were addressed at the White House earlier this week by the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, have been described as racist, sexist, and misogynistic. Plus, on top of that, you have the second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, who is Jewish. So now he has been taking some heat. Anti-Semitism has now been come into the mix. Harris has had to deal with all of these things her whole life. So it's not like she is not equipped to handle it. But if the American people are not equipped to handle it, she needs to have that calculation when she makes her decision.
Just about a minute left in our time together. President Biden made himself a lame duck this week. It's remarkable how quickly he's faded from media coverage and the just sort of general political chatter. What becomes of his administration now?
When he gave his address in the Oval Office, there were actually tears and a lot of emotion among the staff members. He is adored by the staff. He is adored by Democrats for more than 50 years of public service. And I think that history will be kind to him. He stepped out, he said, because it wasn't about him. It was about you. You, he meant, the American people, the American voters who get to decide what kind of country they want to live in. And yes, he has stepped out of the spotlight, but I will also say that he continues his work. He says over the next 6 months, he's going to continue to further his agenda. He's going to try and push more successes that the Democrats have been enjoying. And he's also working very, very hard to get the hostages released and to broker a peace deal in the Middle East, having met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu this week and having a very strong heart-to-heart discussion about how to end the war in Gaza.
Well, it's been a remarkable month. It's been a remarkable series of weekends. Linda Kenyon, I hope you get to enjoy your Saturday and Sunday without any major breaking news. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Brian.